Yeah, this morning is, I sense just the sweet spirit of the Lord right here with us. I think probably many of you are feeling that right now. And so I just want us collectively just to pray, just that we would receive whatever God wants to teach us today. Can we just do that together? So just in your own prayer right now, just say, God, I want more. I want whatever you're pouring out, I want to receive it. And I want to just have hands open. And so let's just yield our hearts and position ourselves in humility, saying, God, we want more. Let's just speak that out, Lord. We want more tonight. Whatever you're pouring out, Jesus, we want it. Whatever you're doing, Holy Spirit, in this room, we want to partner with you. We want to go where you're going. Lord, in your presence is freedom, and your presence is hope, and your presence is healing, and your presence is creativity, and your presence there's life. So Lord, we want to be with you wherever you are. We want to be moving with you. And so Lord, right now we yield this service to you. We say yes to you. May the word that you inspire, may it come alive to us today. May it pierce our hearts. May it draw us to Jesus. May it make us more like you. Holy Spirit, we say yes to you. You are trustworthy. You are good. Empower us, fill us up. May we receive all that you want to teach us, all that you want to do in us, for the glory of Jesus alone. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. Go ahead and have a seat. Man, it's so, so good. I love, love, love the presence of God. Hey, good morning. My name is Derek. If you're a guest, welcome. If you've been here for a long time, you're welcome as well. We're so glad to have you guys with us this morning. Before we get into the Word of God, which we're going to dig into today, I want to just pause for a second, and I want to give a huge shout out to every volunteer, every person that stepped up last week to enable us to serve our community with 5 services here at Christ Fellowship. So can we give it up for all the volunteers and all those that work behind the scenes from parking team, which I know you guys had your hands full, and I apologize for that, but I also appreciate your patience, to kids ministries, to our choir that was up on the stage, to auditorium, to host, everyone that pitched in. Man, I just want you to know, we are so grateful. It would not have been possible without you. And I want to tell you also, as your pastor, just how proud I am. And that's not a pride, like ego thing, that's a gratitude. I'm so proud of our church, of our staff, of our volunteers, because this is what I hear in the community when I'm out, and this is what I hear when people come visit our church, is that more than anything else, people feel welcome, they don't feel judged, and they feel the presence of God here. Can we just say that sounds like Jesus today? Like, that's what we long for. I don't care how big we are, like, we're not a tiny church. We know that, obviously, right, in this room. But as God continues to grow, this is what we want. We want to love the next person as much as we love the first person, right, Jeff? When we were gathered together in a basement where this church started, I don't know how many years ago, about 30 plus years ago, and everybody knew everybody, the presence of God was there, and that was glorious. But man, as we continue to grow, we don't want to lose that incredible culture where people feel the love of God here. When people come in, and I hear all the time, man, I was scared to come in because I got tattoos, and I'm like, hey, you'll fit in right here with Christ Fellowship, right? Or I don't have a suit to wear. Come on, Derek wears a t-shirt, right? I know that, right? Like, I love that we're a place where people come in and can experience the love of Jesus in a very real and tangible way. I love that, and I'm so proud that's how people experience when they come here. Now, last week was a special week, obviously, Easter, celebrating Resurrection Sunday. And I shared a passage, a really short little passage that Jesus shared. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. If anyone believes in me, though he die, he will not die, which is interesting, right? Like, our flesh dies, but he actually says, when your flesh dies, you actually become more alive. This is what Jesus is saying. So last week, we talked a lot about the resurrection, that Jesus was literally put in a tomb dead, no breath, no pulse. 3 days later, the breath of God breathed into him and raised him up to life. That's the resurrection, right? But I want you to know that Jesus does want to resurrect you. Like, he wants to breathe life into your soul. He wants to bring you salvation. If you're not a follower, man, he wants to give you life that you've never experienced before. But that resurrection is not the end game. That is literally a step in the direction of God. See, he's not just the resurrection, period. He's the resurrection and the what? Life. That means that as he raises us up to life through the power of Jesus, through faith and grace, that he then has something for you, and that thing is called life. He wants you to live. This is what we see in Jesus. And so today we're starting in this series entitled As We Go. As We Go. And over the next course of weeks, we're going to be looking at what does it look like for us to live after we've been raised from the dead? Like, what does it look like for me to follow Jesus, who's given me life and given me salvation? What's it look like for me to now live as he lived? And so over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at some of the things that Jesus did while he walked the earth. We're going to look at how did Jesus know the things that he knew while he walked the earth. And then we're going to say, what does that mean to you and me as we're walking this earth 2,000 plus years later? What does it look like as we go into the world for us to live, right? And so today, I want you to grab your Bible. We're going to be in John chapter 20, all the way back to the back of the Gospels, the last of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and open that up or get your Bible app on your phone. Or if you don't have a Bible, on that table in the back as you're heading out, man, grab a Bible, use it this week, come back and utilize it as we're gathering together next Sunday. But I want us to look at really the events right after the resurrection. So we had Easter last week, and now we're going to talk about what happens next. He's the resurrection and the life. And so in John chapter 20, the beginning of John chapter 20, we see the resurrection story. We see that Jesus was raised from the dead, that the ladies got there and they didn't see him, and then they encountered Jesus. They ran back and told all the disciples. We're going to pick up in verse 19 if you're following along. It's the same day that Jesus was raised from the dead. This is what we find out here. It says, on the evening of that day, what we call Easter, the first day of the week, the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. Can we all just say fear? Fear. I want to talk about fear a little bit later today. Fear. It says they were scared. They were locked up in a room. They didn't want anybody around them. They had isolated themselves and insulated themselves from society. This is what we do when we're operating in fear, okay? So they're locked up in a room. Jesus came and stood among them. Don't you love that? That Jesus steps right into our fear. Like the very place that you're scared of this morning, the very place that you're fearful of God looking at you, that's the very place that he wants to show up this morning. So he steps into the room where there was an atmosphere of fear, and he steps in and he says this, peace be with you. Now can we all say peace? Peace out, bro, right? Peace, right? Peace be with you. And then he said to this, he showed them his hands and his side, and then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, so second time, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. So this is what happened after the first Easter. This is what happened after the resurrection. This is where we're at. And so as we're starting this series, as we go, I want us to see a few things in the scripture, specifically this series that we're going to be in for quite a while is really centered in Jesus' words here that he says, as the Father has sent me, even so now I am what? Sending you. So the whole context of this series is you are being sent just as Jesus was sent. And what I want you to see here from the very beginning is that Jesus passed his ministry to his followers. I want you to see this, that Jesus in this moment is literally taking his ministry, taking his life, and he's giving it to his followers with authority and power to continue what he started. Now, as I was thinking about this week, I was thinking about sports because, you know, you guys know I'm going to have at least one sport analogy in my sermons. And so I was thinking about track and field. And this is actually my wife. She was a quite an accomplished track star herself. And so I ran the 4x1, the 4x2, and the 400, which is the worst race ever known to God. I think it's like almost purgatory on earth when you have to run a 400. It's terrible. That last 100 meters is rough. But in the 4x1, that was my favorite race. I had my good friends. They were all a bunch of speed guys. And so in the 4x1, you have a guy that starts the race, and he has this baton, right? And then he takes off in it, and then he gets around the first corner, gets to the straight, and what's he do? He passes it off to what? The second leg. And you see him, they start running. They're about the same speed, and he puts a hand back, and then they start running. Second leg runs it to the third leg where the corner starts again, and he passes it off to the third leg. And then he's running around that curve, and he gets to the last leg, the anchor leg, and that's usually what I ran in high school. And they'd come around that corner, and I'd see him just smoking fast coming. And then I would start running, and then in that transition lane, he'd pass it to me, and I would take it, and I would finish the race. And see, I think that's a beautiful picture of what Jesus has done in this moment, that Jesus is literally saying, listen, guys, I've come to do some things. I've come to accomplish some things. I came to teach some things, but now it's my time to go back to the Father. And so this is what I'm going to do for you. I'm actually going to give you the baton of my ministry. I'm going to give you the baton that the God, that Father sent me with. Now I'm going to give it to you. I want you to take it, and I want you to run the race. This is what we see in this moment, that Jesus is saying, I want to give my ministry to my followers. And this is what you need to know. If you are a follower of Jesus, you have the opportunity to continue the ministry of Jesus, every one of us. I want you to say, me. Me. That's you. Every one of us, as a follower of Jesus, has been given the opportunity for Jesus to hand us the baton of his ministry and for us to continue on the path that he began. This is what Jesus desires. Now, when I say the word ministry, immediately there's some weird things happen in the room. This is just how, in public speaking, you say certain words, it triggers people to think different things. Now, when I say ministry, how many of you think of like men's ministry or women's ministry? Or immediately like think of that. Or like children's ministry, right? Now, all those things are good uses of the word ministry. Those are ministries within the church. They have a focus, they have a direction. But this word ministry is not ever meant to be confined to part of a church organization. This is why the vision of Christ Fellowship has been for a long time to equip individuals to be what? To be all that God designed them to be, because we're all designed differently and all have a different way to express that on the earth. And so that vision of our church comes from Ephesians chapter 4, where it says that the leaders of the church, the fivefold ministry that we see listed out, the apostles, the prophets, the pastors and teachers and all this, that those people that are leading the church are called to what? Equip the saints for the what? Ministry. That means that all of us have the opportunity to have a ministry, and it doesn't have to have a church stamp listed on it. Say amen to that, right? So this word ministry, as I'm studying, as I'm looking at the Greek words this week, and as I'm looking at like what's a way to kind of concisely bring this to pass, this is what I came in. I'm going to carry this. I don't know. I feel like I'm carrying this thing. I'm like got a wand up here. I don't know. I'm going to put that down because I'm going to carry it. This is what ministry, as I've been studying, this is what I got. And I would love for you to write this down. It's not going to be on the screen. But when I say the opportunity that we have to continue the ministry of Jesus, this is what I mean by ministry. It's releasing the gifts and resources that we have been given to glorify God and to benefit others. Now, I know I'm not slow enough yet. I'm trying to learn in East Tennessee. So I'm going to slow that down a little bit. And I want you to write this down. That ministry is releasing our gifts, our anointing, our resources to glorify God and benefit others. This is the ministry that Jesus came to pass on to us. This is what we see in his life, that he leveraged everything that he had, everything that he did, to glorify his Father in heaven and to benefit those on earth. This is what we see in Jesus. And this is the opportunity that each one of us have to continue the life that he lived on this earth as it is in heaven. Now, in this section of scripture, I love how clear Jesus says. He says, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. Now, this is foundational, but we have to understand this. Each one of us is sent by God. I want you to hear that. If you are a follower of Jesus, if you've given your life to him and now you've been brought into this incredible relationship, this connection with the Father through Jesus, you have been sent by God just as Jesus was sent by God. And I love this picture because this shows us that God's desire is for you not to be stagnant. He desires for you to be moving, right? God desires for you to flow with him, to be interrupted by him, to say yes to him, to be willing to join him with what he is doing. This is what it looks like to follow Jesus. Jesus is not concerned about your comfort. Jesus is much more concerned about you bringing glory to the Father than he is with you being comfortable where you're at. He wants you to move. He's got higher opportunities, higher things for you to learn, higher, you name it, he's got it for you and he wants you to do it, but you can't do it sitting still. You can't do it when you say, you know, Jesus, I'm good, I'm yours, but I'm gonna sit right here. You go ahead and do your thing. No, if you want to follow Jesus, it means that you're gonna move and it means that he is sending you. Now you say, Derek, where in the world is he sending me? Like, I like East Tennessee. Like, I don't want to be sent away. And that's good because most of you, you're probably not going to be sent out of East Tennessee. What do I mean when Jesus says As the Father sent me, I'm being sent to you. Well, this is what it means, that Jesus was sent from heaven to earth because the Father loved you so much. Now, when Jesus got to earth, this is what Jesus did. He had a need to go to Galilee. And so guess what? Jesus says, you know what the Father sent me to do? He's sending me to go to Galilee today. There was a need for Jesus to go visit some people, let's say in Capernaum. And so guess what? The Father was sending Jesus to Capernaum that day. See, as Jesus was sent, we are also sent. Jesus went, and as he went, that was where God was sending him. You see the beauty in this? Get this picture, because that's how Jesus went. That's how you and I were sent. Guess what that means? When you go to Hibbert Davis and get an incredible pour-over coffee this week, you are being sent to God, to Hibbert Davis. When you go to White Dog Taco and you sit outside and you have that fire going and you get an incredible buffalo chicken taco like I had last night, you are being sent to White Dog Taco. When you go to your class at ETSU, guess what? You are being sent to your class at ETSU. And you know how much more fun this makes life? Like, men, I just want to speak to you for a second. Listen, church is boring to a lot of men. I get that. Man, and faith is really boring to a lot of us men in this room. And I'm going to tell you, this is a scheme of the enemy to get you to check down to religion. Because I'm going to tell you, men in this room, listen up real quick, that God did not intend to your faith and your relationship with him to be for you to sit your rear end in a seat for an hour a week and that be the end of it. Somebody say amen to that, right? Like if the end game of God for my relationship with him was to sit through a service on a Sunday morning, I wouldn't follow him. That's not a God I want to follow. But he says, listen, I'm sending you just as I was sent. So when you go into the world, let's guess what? It makes everything more exciting. That means when you go to your work, some of you are business owners, when you go, you have an opportunity to continue the ministry of Jesus, to use your gifting, your leadership, your resources, to bring glory to the Father and to benefit others. Everywhere we go, that makes it so much more exciting when we go to Food City and we don't wanna make eye contact with anybody because we don't wanna see anybody, we don't wanna talk to anybody, that God could actually show up in Food City. Believe it or not. God might even show up in Walmart. That would be a miracle. I don't know about that, but. Oh, we probably have the manager of Walmart here, I don't know. But anyhow, like literally, it makes it so much more exciting that my faith is not in an hour on a Sunday morning or an hour and a half in a small group. That means everywhere I go, God is at work and he's inviting me to join him. This is how Jesus lived and this is how he's inviting us to live. And it's so much better living this way. And it's also much scarier because it requires a lot more faith. It requires a lot more yes when we don't know what the answer is. And I know some of you are living by faith right now, and it's so encouraging to me, so exciting to me. Now, as we're sent, we should ask, where are we going? And so I just want to take a moment out of this message, and if you're taking notes, I want you to get your notes, your pen. If you have a phone, I want you to open up your phone app, or your phone app, that's weird, your notes app on your phone. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to make a quick list for me, and it's not for me, it's for you. But I want you to make a list of the 5 or 10 places you're gonna go this week. So just literally, just take time. Don't look at me anymore, heads down. Don't pray, write it down. And write down, where are you going this week? What are you doing this week? Write them down. Write down the specific places you're going. So as you're writing, here's a couple things. I'm taking my son to school tomorrow. I'm picking him up and I'm taking him into practice tomorrow. I'm going to the church office. I've got some meetings that I wrote down here. I've got a tee time at Meadowview. I'm hoping to hit the ball straight this week for the glory of God. I'm going to the mayor's prayer breakfast at 7:30 on Thursday. I would love to see any of you there. Anybody's invited. 7:30 downtown outside the library. 7:30 mayor's prayer breakfast. So I've got this list and you've got a list. Every one of us has a list. And I want you to hear this morning that everything, every place, every person that you just wrote down, you are being sent by God to minister the ministry of Jesus there. Doesn't it make your life so much more valuable and so much more fun to think about God would want to interact with me in these things? And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at that list if you wrote it down. And I want you to just take a moment. Let's just pray over that list that we would recognize God's presence in each one of those and that we would glorify God and benefit others. So let's just look at your list. Let's pray, Lord. So I'm looking at my list. I'm just going to pray. I'm going to ask you to do the same thing. Lord, thank you that you've given me influence. Thank you that you've given me an opportunity to meet with other people, to move about this community and the Tri-Cities. Lord, I thank you that you are at work where I can't see you at work. You are working right now, Jesus. And so my heart is for me and for all of us as we go into the world, that we would have a heart to say yes to you, that we would have a heart, that I would have a heart to partner with you to see your kingdom come in the Tri-Cities as it is in heaven. Lord, let it be so this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, right? Like, imagine what would happen if we approached life like this as we go, not just what Derek's going to influence, but imagine all of us are saying, God, I want to be used by you. I want to partner with you. I want to step in faith. I want to speak truth over somebody. I want to see that barista at Starbucks who looks like she's just ticked off, and I want to speak life to her. I want to look her in the eyes. Imagine the influence that we as kingdom people could have on this region. I hope it gets you excited because it gets me excited. And that's where we're going in this series. What would it look like as we go into the world and proclaim and demonstrate the kingdom of God? Now, it's interesting as Jesus is making this point in chapter 20 of John that before he tells them, hey, I'm sending you, he says the same thing twice. He says, peace be with you. Peace be with you. Now, this real, real common thing to know about when you're reading the scriptures on your own, when you see the same thought or the same words twice, in a small area, you should really pay attention. If you see it three times, then you better write it down in your journal, right? Now, whenever you see Jesus, though, letters in red, if you have a red letter Bible, if you see Jesus speaking and he says things twice in the same context of a conversation, we really should listen. And so he steps into this place of fear, this atmosphere of fear and self-protection, self-promotion, insulated from society. He steps into that, and what's he say? Peace be with you. Peace be with you. And what does Jesus do in that moment? He is attacking fear. Attacking fear. And you know why Jesus loves to attack fear? Because fear hinders our worship. It hinders how we worship here, but I'm telling you, worship is much bigger than us singing together. Worship is our response to God for who he is. So when I go home and I go Monday and I go to my work, guess what? It's an opportunity to worship God as we honor him. When I do the dishes without my wife asking, she says, amen, praise Jesus. That is an act of worship, right? Unto the Lord. So we have all these things that are response to who God is. And so when we operate in fear, guess what? Our worship is hindered because we're not going to step out and respond to God. We're going to be scared of what other people are going to think, or be scared of what people are going to do if we step out with God and respond to him. But it's not just that it hinders our worship. It also prevents us from experiencing the desire that God has for us. So if I'm gonna say, you know what, God, I'm gonna be fearful, I'm gonna put myself in a room and I'm not gonna step out, I'm gonna tell you, you're gonna miss out on what God has for you. You're gonna miss out on the experiences that God wants to give you. So when we're talking about peace, what is peace? Peace is what displaces fear. Now, peace is not found in the absence of negative circumstance, but in continuous connection with God. And I want you to write this down or maybe take a picture of the screen when they get it up here, is that peace is not found in the absence of negative circumstances, but in continuous connection with God. And I want you to hear this because, listen, I'm not telling you in your life you're not going to have things to be fearful of. I'm not telling you in life that you're not going to have opportunities where there really are hard things to deal with. No, I'm going to tell you what Jesus says. Listen, in this world, there's going to be trouble. Guaranteed. But what did he say? He says, take heart. Take heart. Because I've already overcome the world. And so what we see is peace is not the absence of negative or fearful things, but it's the presence and the connection that we have with God. And this is why I love studying Jesus. Because when we look at Jesus, he was sent out in connection with the Father through the Holy Spirit. I want you to know this about Jesus, that Jesus was sent from the Father, connected to the Father through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was conceived by the Spirit. Jesus was anointed by the Spirit from birth. Jesus was led into the wilderness after his baptism by the Spirit of God. And guess what? After those 40 days of fasting, he came out of the wilderness, out of the temptation, under the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was connected to the Father through the Holy Spirit. And this is why this is important. And honestly, here's where I need you to get. I need you to hear this today. So if you're zoned out for a second, zone back in, because I want you to meditate on this week. I want you to really wrestle with this truth because this could challenge some of your understanding of God. That Jesus did not do what he did because he was God. Jesus did his ministry on this earth because he was filled with the Spirit connected to the Father. Now, if we believe that, that'll change everything we do and every way we think about God. Because if I think that Jesus, you know, healed the sick, cast out demons, raised the dead, if I think that he only did that because he was God, guess what that means? That means it's not possible for me. That means, Jesus, you do your thing, but I'm not gonna do that. But no, that's actually not what he said. Jesus actually said, you're gonna do what I did and what? Greater. Whether that means more in number or whether that actually means a greater outpouring. Jesus says, you're actually gonna do what I did. And that's only possible if we can do what he did. And he did what he did because he was filled up with the Spirit of God, connected to the Father. This is what we see Jesus do. And this is good news for all of us because this is what we have. If the Spirit of God is in you, you are connected to him. And so what we see is that the Holy Spirit is our continuous connection with God. And therefore, he is our source of peace and power. And Jesus says this. He says, do not be afraid. I'm sending you just as I was sent. And then look what he says in verse 22. And then he said to them and breathed on them, receive the Holy Spirit. Everybody say receive. Receive. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. Do you know why he said receive the Holy Spirit? Because he knew that they needed to be connected to the Father if they were going to accomplish what he had for them to continue his ministry. I wish we had another 30 minutes, really, because I could preach for probably another hour on this because I love it, but I've literally got 2 minutes to land this plane. You know, Jesus was talking in John 15, which I would encourage you, write that down. Go to John 15 and read the words that Jesus said. John 15, Jesus is talking about the vine and the branches. And he says this incredible thing. He says, listen, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you're connected to me, you're gonna what? Bear much fruit. What are you gonna do? You're gonna have ministry that proclaims and demonstrates the kingdom of God in your life. And what does that require? Connection. How are we abiding? We talk about this a lot in our staff. How do we abide as a church? That's a question, man, every person should be asking. How do I abide? If Jesus says you can't do anything unless you abide, how do we abide? Well, we abide by the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life, connecting us to the Father and the Son. And what did Jesus say? You gotta receive. You gotta receive. So as I was studying this week and I'm thinking about the Spirit and how he connects us to Jesus and how he is the source of our power and peace, I was just ringing on this idea that we've gotta receive. Receive the Spirit. Receive the Spirit. Now you say, well, Derek, what about Ephesians chapter 1? And I've read Ephesians chapter 1, trust me. It says that at salvation, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And I love it. That means the Holy Spirit is part of our salvation. He is drawn, he is wooing. He is the one that actually gives us new life, Spirit and water. This is what we see with Nicodemus in John chapter 3. But I just wanna tell you something and just tell you from my own experience and also as I read the scriptures, there is a difference between being sealed by the Holy Spirit and being saturated by the Holy Spirit. It's like saying there's not a difference between enough and overflowing. And I don't know about you, but I don't want just enough. Like, I don't want to just be, okay, I got the seal of the Spirit and that's enough for me. I want to be overflowing and saturated with the Spirit because that is actually good for others and not just me. You see, the seal of the Spirit is your benefit. Receiving the overflow of the Spirit is how others in your life are benefiting. And this is what Paul says. He says, continue to be filled by the Holy Spirit. I want you to know, as your pastor, I ask every day that the Father would fill me with his Spirit to a new measure. Man, I want more, God. I want more. I want to express you. I want to show you. I want to know what you know. I want to see what you see. I want the Holy Spirit to be filling me up and saturating me so that when I go into the world, I can continue the ministry of Jesus just as he did. And it begins with asking and then receiving. Asking. And receiving. And so I would encourage you this week, maybe even as we're singing this last song, like, what if you ask the Father to fill you with his Spirit this week? Monday rolls around, Father, will you fill me with your Spirit? Tuesday rolls around, Father, will you fill me with your Spirit? Before I go into a hard meeting, listen, you know what I do? Father, I've got the mind of Christ. Fill me with your Spirit. Allow me to speak what you would speak. All the time, I'm telling you, we need the power of the Holy Spirit if we're gonna go into the world to proclaim and demonstrate the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. Let me pray. Lord, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for your truth. More than anything else, though, we thank you that your Holy Spirit is available, that you want to pour it out on anyone who would ask and receive. And so, Lord, I pray you would stir up our faith. I pray you would allow us to encounter the living God and that you would show us our connection to you through your Spirit for your glory, Jesus, alone. Amen. Let's stand and sing this last song together.